Everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next on the agenda. Does everybody hear me all right? Yes? Everybody can hear me all right? Okay, just making sure there. Next on the agenda is roll call, and we have all council members here tonight. Then we'll go to citizen input, and that's for citizens that would like to address the council on council issues. And we had Eric Morgan called in requesting for funding for holiday decorations. So Eric, you want to come address us on that?
Merry Christmas.
Would you give us your name and address too?
Eric Morgan. Yeah, so I've talked to a couple of the council members before on this and opposed to council once before. And what I want to do is get going on Santa's sleigh and reindeer to be set up in the park, Pioneer Park. Rudolph will have a red flashing nose. The sleigh will be built for kids to sit in and have their pictures taken, or for adults to sit in it. You know, you can have your pictures taken with Santa Claus just about everywhere, but to have the sleigh and reindeer set up for photographs is something that I want to work on. I've talked to several people and that's volunteered to do the construction work on the sleigh, the painting of the reindeer, and so forth. The runners alone are going to cost us about $300, and that's about $150 and less than he would charge for you or I just to go down and do it. But that's how it's for this project. ProBuild is giving us a discount on the lumber. It's going to be, I think, a little bit less than $200. And that would be about $500 to have the sleigh and the reindeer built. To have the paint and stuff, I don't know exactly what it's going to cost, but we go to Ace Hardware to get that, and I'm sure Ken's going to give us a reduction on that. So basically what I'm looking at is $600, give or take a little bit, in order to complete this project so it's ready to go by the 1st of December. Like I said, I've got volunteers to help with the construction work, with the painting, and I just need the council's okay to say, okay, we want this as an exhibit and so forth to help with our tourism and so forth in the park. I'm not asking for the money directly because I'm not an organization. I'm a single person, but I do have people that are willing to help with this. What I need from you is the okay to do it, and who do I tell these people to send the bills to? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eric. What we'll do is we'll put it to the workshop so Catherine can also look at it, make sure there's any issues there, our legal department. And maybe you want to come back the 1st of August if you want to. I don't know, it's up to you, or you can get a hold of Eamon and he'll put it together for you and help you out also. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Do we have any other citizens that would like to address the council? Nobody? Okay, then we will close citizen input. Approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion for that?
So moved.
Second.
Dan first, Ken Kaler seconded. Any further discussions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same? Okay, then that passes. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion on that?
So moved.
Second.
Who was the so moved? I didn't catch it. Okay, Charles first, Gina second. Okay. Before we move on that one, I noticed...
Mayor, I need to abstain to those portions in reference to Johnson's Glass and Doors.
Okay. All right. Also, the approval of council minutes under the adjourned section. At the very end, it has Mayor Wilson listed as closing the meeting. So we'll have to change that also, so you're aware of that. So do I hear a motion? We had a first and a second. Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? All right. passes also. All right. Ooh, come here. Okay, 4.1, Holidays, Teamsters. Chief Dennegan.
Mr. Mayor, council members, good evening. The issue tonight that I'm bringing forward, the first issue that I'm bringing forward, will be an amendment to the current CBA collective bargaining agreement between the City of Othello and its commissioned police officers. To describe the issue, each city employee receives a benefit package that includes 11 paid holidays per year. Normally, an employee takes that holiday when it comes up and then it goes away, with the exception of police officers who get them awarded differently. They are awarded 6 and 5, 6 in January, 5 in July, and they are allowed to use those holidays as holiday days or credits throughout the year whenever they choose. All 11 of those holidays are budgeted for the benefits package for that employee for that current year. So when we move into a new year, the employee gets 11 new holidays, but carryover holiday credits are not budgeted, so they become a financial liability. Also, because they save up so many of them, if they choose not to use them, then they all want them in one particular time, and it becomes unmanageable to be able to award all of the holidays as people want, so then it's a scheduling issue. So in response to this, the city policy says that each holiday credit is subject to the discretion of the chief for carryover. I have not ever exercised that and said that we will not carry them over. I've tried to do my best to make sure that we accommodate the employees. However, it's just getting a little bit out of control right now. So we worked with the Teamsters and talked to them through a mediator, actually, and we came up with a system whereby all the unused holiday credits should be used in the period in which they're issued. So the 6 in January should be used before the end of June. The 5 in July should be used before the end of December. If they are not used or not scheduled, we've agreed to pay them off at straight time pay. So if an employee has 3 left in June, then when he gets paid, he's going to be paid for those holiday credits at straight time. And thereby, there are no more carryovers into the second half of the year. If they don't use all 5 of them that they get in July, then those would be paid for at the end of November if they're not scheduled for December. So at any one time, an employee in December would never be paid more than 40 hours of straight time holiday pay. It will eliminate that pay from the books. We won't have to worry about the carryover. It doesn't become a financial obligation, and it doesn't become a scheduling issue for officers who want to take time off. So that agreement was reached. The officers did agree to that, and then it was voted amongst the whole bargaining unit. The union called me and said it was a favorable vote, and so now I'm bringing it to you. Because it is an amendment to the contract, then we need your authorization to go ahead and sign on that amendment once it's given to us by the Teamsters Union. So what I need, and so everybody, myself, the staff, Teamsters, and the commission officers would recommend that we do this. So what I need from the council is authorization to do that. So in the form of a motion, it would be that you move to accept the agreement between the Teamsters and the city with the cash out of holiday credits as described.
Any questions, Chief?
It's kind of a complicated issue. But
okay, do I hear a motion to accept the agreement between the Teamsters Union and the city dealing with cash out of holiday credits?
I move we accept.
I'll second.
Dan first.
Agreement.
Second. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay. Contract for Building Department Services. Eamon?
Good evening. The issue before the council tonight is a consideration for the contract, a contract for inspection and plan review services. A few years ago, in 2010, the city council initiated a contract for building inspection and plan review services with Planet Consulting. At that time, the consideration the council had was, what kind of contract do we want? Do we want based on percent or a flat rate? The council philosophy at that time was pay for work only. Therefore, the council initiated a service contract based on a percentage that the city received. There's a chart on your agenda memo that identifies, beginning in 2010 and the number of months or years of service, 2011, 2012, and the total paid. And then the next to last column is, if it had been a flat rate at $65,000, which was the amount being proposed, what would we have paid? The difference is almost $90,000. Now the argument is, well, what's the future hold for Othello? We had a lot of building construction going on. Are we going to continue that? And is a flat rate the best financial cost benefit to the city? Well, right now the school district has two more projects on the planning board. One is for the high school, and I don't know the other one. I heard there was two. We always have things for review. We have the Ochoa project. There are three more of those going up. That's north of Olympia Street. You see the metal framing. That's an Ochoa project. There are three more of those, identical to that, going to go up in successive years. So we do have some building and planning. Buildings going up that will constitute a plan review. So in light of this, the finance committee met. The finance committee of the council met, and it is their recommendation, as well as staff, that you approve a flat rate, a fixed rate contract with Planet Consulting in the amount of $65,000 annually. Any questions?
Any comments from the Planning Commission? Okay, do I hear a motion to move to authorize the mayor or his designee to sign the contract with the Permit Center?
So moved.
Second.
Charles first, Ken Kaler second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes.
Thank you.
Okay. Status update of Moon Street project. Larry?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Nice to see you all again. We wanted to give you a brief update of where things are with the West Moon Street Sewer Improvements Project. From the map on the screen, this is State Route 26. Well, we better actually do it over here. State Route 26. West Moon Street, where it crosses the railroad tracks and heads up to State Route 24. Our project that was funded by the Community Development Block Grant Program, last year's programs that we got funded this year, is to install 18-inch sanitary sewer main by gravity that would tie onto the city's existing sewer system, and then install pipe in and along West Moon Street, basically from the railroad tracks over to the housing enclave owned by Ed McCann, eliminating the sewer lagoon that is next to the canal. We put together a project summary that shows some of the dates of interest on the project, kind of a chronology of what's gone on since the project started. With this being federal funds, there was a tremendous amount of environmental review, what's called a NEPA, National Environmental Protection Act review, that had to be performed. The city received word that that was approved in May. We then sat down and started through design, met with Public Works, June 15th to start review of the preliminary design. Sat down with them just a couple weeks ago to go through the draft contract documents, the plans, showing where the location of the 18-inch would be. Talked about different topics, such as where the houses and lagoon is located elevation-wise in comparison to where we would tie to the city sewer system. We don't have enough gravity fall to do everything without a pumping station. It's just the fact that elevation-wise, it's different enough that we can't get the proper slope on the pipe without having to pump. So we've talked about a couple different options with Public Works. One would be to have a lift station down by the lagoon that would intercept all the flow that comes into the lagoon, leave all those piping systems alone from the houses, and then pump that up to where we would tie onto the city system here at the railroad tracks just south of State Route 26. The other option is to have individual grinder stations, small little pumps that would be located at each house. There's precedent actually within the city to go either way. We understand that the Walmart complex has a single lift station that's a private station that discharges by force main into the city sewer system, and that's completely run by the private property owner. And also there's some singular systems outside of town that have the individual grinder stations. We've talked with Public Works. They're in favor of not having a lift station that they would have to maintain and operate, obvious reasons. And we think this is a case where, because it is private property, even though it is funded by the Community Development Block Grant, this would be another situation where we could have a private lift station that ties into the city sewer system. We're also looking at these buildings, the businesses that are along West Moon on the county roadway portion, how we can tie those into the system as well. We may have to go individual little pump stations at those buildings, but that would be something that would be fairly easy for the property owners to maintain and then tie into the force main coming from the main private lift station. And all of that would then connect into the city's gravity sewer station or gravity sewer system that eventually will find its way north across the canal and go into the wastewater treatment plant lagoons out on Cunningham. We also talked about different possibilities of construction. In just kind of brainstorming, kicking ideas around with Public Works, we basically have two different types of construction here. An 18-inch diameter gravity sewer main, about 4,000 feet of that, and then the lift station and force main piping, which would be more mechanical than heavy construction, which would the 18-inch pipe would be. So we talked about possibly splitting that project into two phases or two schedules, maybe even two separate bidding seasons or climates, just so that we don't have a mechanical contractor trying to do an 18-inch sewer main or a large pipeline contractor trying to do mechanical electrical work like you'd see in a lift station. So we're still working out those details with Public Works, but just wanted to bring that to your attention that depending upon how it works out, we may want to split the project. We don't have any paving to do on the project. We're all either on gravel roads or dirt roads, so we don't have to worry about a construction window as far as shutting down because we can't pave. If we go into the winter, it actually would be a good project for a contractor through the winter, unless we got really bad weather. Other than that, the city has until March 31st of 2014 to complete the project per the grant contract with Community Development Block Grant Program. So we have time in there to decide which way to go and review what's the best bang for the buck, best setup for the city and the private property owners along Moon Street. And with that, if there's any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
I'm sure Terry told you we don't want to be the owner of another lift station.
Right. Yep, we've gone around and tried to figure a way to get out of that, and I think private is the best way to go. The small lift stations, package lift stations that are available these days are very good when it comes to mechanics and electrical systems. We'd recommend a package setup so that any controls that are in the lift station, basically it's a large concrete manhole, possibly 5-6 foot diameter. We're not talking a large lift station. There's only about 50 houses down there that would tie into it. We'd probably look at expansion for a little bit of the area and have electrical systems tied to what's called an auto dialer. So if there is a control issue, a pump decides not to turn off or turn on, or there's an intrusion alarm, someone tries to break into the wet well, a call is made to the person that's deemed responsible from the private property owner to operate and maintain the system. And it calls either the house or the cell phone. So it's taken care of automatically that way.
So that's all covered by the grant?
Yes.
Yeah, because we were in that business for, we had so many council meetings where we talked about that lift station. So, any other comments or questions?
I've got a couple of questions. So you're running another trunk line. It looks like it's going to hook up pretty close to Scutney, where the Scutney extension is.
Since this drawing, this is very close to where Scutney would come down the hill. Since this drawing, we've actually done the survey work, completed it up here, and found that we'll need to connect in a little further north than what's on this old vicinity map that was used for the grant application. But it's fairly close to that area.
Okay, then the line's going to run pretty much parallel with the railroad tracks?
Mm-hmm. This is pretty much all on, actually we're going to be over here. This dirt road we found is actually on city property from all the way north of here down to about this point here where it turns into Burlington Northern property. And we've been in contact with them about getting permit from Department of Transportation, since we're going to be under Highway 26, and there's been no problems with those people. This is the stormwater retention pond that the city owns. All of this property up here is city property and goes quite a ways further up to the north as well. So we won't be dealing with any private property owners for locating the main line or having to worry about any easements for the main line.
Okay, that was my next question, because I know we've had to deal with Burlington Northern when we made the connection west of the for the Scutney one,
mm-hmm.
when we went with the stormwater.
Right.
And I know they take a long time to respond to request, and if they could respond for our timetable that we got, or if it's going to work out.
We've already been in touch with them. Their office that deals with this area is actually out of Yakima, not too far from where our office is, and we've dealt with them. We've submitted plans. They said we should have permits in the very near future.
Larry?
Sir?
If we run that north like you're proposing, say we develop that land that belongs to the city on the west, can that go into that line? Is that elevation wise high enough that would go that direction?
Yes, definitely.
Reason what I'm getting at here, there's another thought that I almost say we're reversing that slope anyway. It should be running west instead of coming backwards and bore underneath the 26 and come out the other direction, then tie into your line up there. But in the later down the road situation, you're going to end up with that line probably going on west across the canal and tying that whole area in at one sometime or another. And I just wondered if you kind of looked at that and looked at the pricing and what it would cost. I know it's expensive to bore under the highway for a line that size, but there's a possibility of a future situation there too.
We did look at potential for running pipes west instead of east and then north. And like you said, the cost to get jacked and bored under the highway would be very expensive because the state would not allow us to open cut State Route 26. We're fortunate that we're underneath the bridge at this point here where we don't have to worry about that. We can just do the open cutting as long as we don't hit the bridge piers. And then also we have the canal crossing, like you said, that we'd have to worry about, whereas we already have one up north. Getting a permit to cross the canal would be an adventure. The Bureau is reluctant to allow open cutting of canals even in the winter, and they also are reluctant to do jacking and boring because they don't want any potential settlement.
So will that line be big enough for the industrial area?
Yes.
Because we're in the process. Okay, mm-hmm. That would work for that.
Yeah,
too.
This would be an 18-inch, which would be sufficient for, actually it was originally sized for the SR24 industrial area.
Okay.
That it would be sufficient for the Moon Street area and for any potential growth north of Highway 26 between the railroad tracks and the canal.
Like where Evergreen is and Ladd and all that type of stuff eventually could
yes.
go into that with no problem. Okay.
And the depths of the sewer at this point here where we pick up West Moon Street is deep enough that we can get all the way down to Bench Road with the sanitary sewer that would then
okay.
it would go through the SR24 area, industrial area.
Any other questions for Larry?
It doesn't go any further.
Okay, thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
4.4, status update of Scutney Street project.
Me again.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to give you an update also on Scutney Street overlay project. I do need to apologize ahead of time here. I thought that we needed to have council authorization to go to advertisement. Terry indicated that typically they have not, so if that lent any confusion, I'm sorry about that. We are at the point where we're ready to start construction on the Scutney Street overlay project. If you remember when we indicated last fall that the city had been awarded the funds, we had submitted a grant application to go all the way from First Avenue up to Shady Lane Place or Shady Lane Drive. When we received the award information from TIB, Transportation Improvement Board, we found out that they made a little error in their calculations and forgot one of the primary construction items that we had included, which was the paving fabric that would go under the asphalt. So what they awarded the city was less than what had been requested. TIB's response when we called them on it was, go through your design, see where the numbers come out, which was a fairly typical response for them. We've now done that. We've gone through the design. We've talked with Public Works about their comments. We still need to get a few from them. TIB has said that the difference between what was awarded and what is needed is too much for them to actually give to the city, depending upon where bids come in. So we've come up with an alternate plan. What we'd like to recommend is that the project start at First and go to Fourth on this first phase. We do feel we have the funds for that based off of estimates and the amount available. And then apply to TIB for the second phase, which would go from 4th up to 7th, or slightly past 7th, where the new housing, where it's actually old now, but the new housing in here started off. This way we'd also be able to do Shady Lane up north of Scutney and into the parking lot at Kiwanis Park. And suggest to TIB kind of strongly that since they had a little bit of a math mistake in the award, that they should fund that project as well. It's a continuation project. TIB historically has approved those so that you can get A Street done over a two-year period rather than a one-year period in a timely manner. We are just about ready to go out for advertisement. We wanted to bring this to your attention, see if council had any thoughts on it. Talk to Terry, we should be able to get their final comments within the next few days, and then be ready to go out for advertisement. Have a bid opening in August, award the second meeting in August, and then start construction not long after Labor Day, a three-week construction period to complete the project. So it would be done, we think, before the end of September. We included on the agenda memo in the budget portion, the budget history, and when we first applied, the amounts, the TIB grant award amount, where we are at this point with design completion and the revised construction budget to get from first to fourth. And if there's any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Questions?
I got only one here. Are we sure we can get that done by the end of September?
Yeah. It was slated for a three-week project to get to Shady Lane. If we cut it back that block, it should still be done within that three-week period. We'd make sure that the contractor had all of his ducks in a row so that they wouldn't start doing the grinding basically until they were ready to start paving. So they come in, they grind, take a couple days to do that, and probably pave in one day.
I guess part of my question, or reasoning for that question, is because here we've had all summer and then we wait till the tail end of summer to get this done, and if we would have stepped this back 2 months, we wouldn't have a problem. But when you get in the end of September, you're in that questionable season again, and and I don't want it to happen like we did in our some of our project on Main Street to get that delayed another 2 weeks, and then we're in trouble again. So
we've been pushing TIB for an answer. We could have bet on the come what they would have said, knowing how they respond to things, but we didn't feel comfortable going out and proceeding without something from them, at least verbally.
Not only that, that time of year, school's just starting up, and there's a lot of kids that walk that street.
Right.
So that's going to be a safety factor at that time with the construction going on.
Right. Contractor will be aware of that in the specifications. They have to provide traffic control. We do have a limited area that they can make sure that any pedestrians as well as traffic gets in and out of the area safely.
Okay, question on the fabric. Are we doing the fabric on the street because it's an arterial?
More so because of reflective cracking. We like to put it's not the same type of fabric that we put down on Main Street. It's more of a Marafi type of fabric, filter fabric. And Mike Miskimmin of our office is here to answer any of those types of technical questions if we want to get in more detail. But the fabric itself will help with reflective cracking because we are just doing an overlay instead of a complete reconstruction.
Okay, because I know we haven't did it on any of our other streets except for Main Street.
Yeah. I think we did it on an overlay a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago, excuse me, and it seemed to work out okay then.
Yep. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming down. Okay, 4.5, consideration of extension of marijuana garden moratorium. Amen?
The consideration before the council tonight is the extension of a moratorium regarding medical marijuana gardens and the response from the Planning Commission. Even though there's a form of a motion at the bottom of your agenda memo, we're not asking for the motion tonight because your existing moratorium runs through September. So that will give the Planning Commission some time to work on this. However, there is an issue relative to the upcoming November election that we might want to extend it past that time frame anyway. The council referred this matter to the Planning Commission for review. The Planning Commission did review the issue. You have before you kind of an outline on the types, the process that the Planning Commission would like to follow. First of all, they would like the council to extend the current moratorium an additional 6 months, and we'll bring that back to you in September. During this additional 6 month period, and starting next month, the Planning Commission will gather information regarding the issue, including seeking information regarding the issue from published experts, seek comment and testimony from the public through the public hearing process. They will advertise and conduct a public hearing to see what information the public would like to supply. Seek information regarding the extent of the need in the city of Othello from medical marijuana users. Seek comment and information from local law enforcement. Review regulations and approaches that have been adopted by other jurisdictions. And of course, run all this by our legal counsel for comment as needed. They would also like to, as a bottom line, develop regulations to present to council for your consideration. So this is an update status report to you on your direction to send this to the Planning Commission, the activities the Planning Commission has considered, and where they would like to go. Are there any comments or questions?
No comments?
They jumped on this really quick, and I'm glad to see that.
The Planning Commission actually is excited working with this issue, or any issue right now. They haven't met for a couple months. There's not been an issue for them to consider, so they were willing to tackle this.
We still have an opening, so if there's anybody interested in the Planning Commission, please step forward.
There's no motion with this issue, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, I've got a point of order here. On the last issue with Larry on Scutney Street, didn't we need a motion to get this thing going?
Correct.
You're talking about authorizing the mayor to start the bidding process.
Right.
Yes, thank you. We overlooked that.
Yeah,
oh, we did?
Otherwise, we're going to be 2 weeks behind here already.
Yeah. So. Okay. Somebody said that we didn't have to, but I must have misunderstood.
I so moved to authorize the Scutney Street overlay construction bid.
I'll second it.
Okay. We're going back to
4.4.
Okay. So we have a first. The first was Ken Kaler. Second was Charles. Any further discussion on that? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? All right. That passes. Thank you, Ken, for noticing that. Okay. 4.6, consideration of compensation for finance officer position. Amen.
I thought there was another issue before mine again. So the issue before the council tonight is consideration for the compensation for the finance officer position. We're not talking about the current position. We're talking about the position that we're advertising for. So when I say the finance position, it's not relative to our current finance officer. A year ago, January, the City Council extended our current finance officer's contract 1 year and 1 year only. And one of the directives was to make sure that we were out advertising in enough time to facilitate a easy transition with our existing finance officer through the budget process. The goal all along has been to bring on a person frankly, in August, so that was September when we start the process, we would have both our current and our new finance officer on board. again, to make an easy transition. The City Council budgeted for a 5-month transition position. The city started advertising on May 24th for the position. We advertised in several organizational pamphlets, the Association of Washington Cities, Municipal Research, Municipal Finance Officers Association, Municipal Treasurers Officers Association, the City Clerks Association, maybe not that one. We offered an advertisement in some newspapers and printed out the job description with the existing salary. The city to date has received 8 applications. None of the 8 really come up to the standard of our existing finance director. The review was conducted by the finance director, myself. We discussed a small discussion with the mayor. We have taken the issue to the council finance committee on what do we need to do to entice people to apply for a position in Othello. So based on discussions with the committee, it was a feeling of the committee and staff, frankly, that we needed to adjust the salary range. The salary range that the committee is asking the council to approve is from $6,404 a month to $7,000 a month, but advertise a range from $7,000 to $8,500 per month as a range. Of course, the offer would be contingent upon standards met, skills and ability, and meeting the needs of the city. So you also have a payroll comparison chart with surrounding cities similar to our size. There's only one city that's lower than Othello. So based on comparable comparisons, the need to advertise and get somebody on board, the council committee and the staff are recommending that the council approve a motion to establish a salary range for advertising of $7,000 to $8,500.
Questions? I guess one comment I have is, we all know how important this position is. We have to get the right person, we have to get somebody that really knows what they're doing. Because how many organizations are reading the paper that have issues financially because something happened? You know what I mean? So that's really important. Another thing for the council to be aware of, I am for this, because I want to find the right person, is it'll also, we will have to look at the city administrator, the police chief, things like that, you know, over time because of that. So that's just something we want to be aware of as a council, because, well, let's say we hired the person at $8,000, that's almost what Eamon makes, you know, so we'd have to take a look at that. So, you know, things, we'd have to look at all those departments over time, so that's something to be aware of as we're voting on this, so. But, or I should say Eamon, city administrator, so. But just be aware of that as we go through that, so, because it's coming at us slowly. Any other comments? Okay, do I hear a motion to establish the salary range for advertising for the financial officer position of $7,000 to $8,500 per month?
Make that motion.
Mark Snyder second. First. Gina second. Any further questions or statements? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, resolution to authorize the use of city property, American Crown Circus. Molly, there you are.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. I am here to recommend the authorization of use of city property for the American Crown Circus. They have come to Othello in the past, I believe it was roughly 7 years ago. And they have asked to come back again this year, the week or the Sunday after Fiesta Amistad, August 12th, and then till the 13th, which is Monday. They will set up that Sunday from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m., and both their shows will run from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., and they will tear down immediately following their last show. With this, Public Works estimates that the day's expenses will only or won't exceed $200. We will only need to add additional garbage containers to the Lions Park soccer fields. And with that, the American Crown Circus has agreed to donate 15% of their adult ticket sales to compensate us for providing this the public property to have their show on. So with a rough estimate from the numbers that we received from the American Crown Circus, and if they say they get about 300 people per night, so if we're going with our average, if that's one-third of those are parents, that would be about $3,000 that we would receive in compensation for providing the land to have their circus. So with this, we recommend that the council approve the resolution to authorize the American Crown Circus on the Lions Park soccer fields.
I had a question for Terry. I'm assuming they're going to have a big tent. It means they're going to have big stakes. Are you going to mark the lines out for them, or how does that work?
We're going to mark those out.
Okay.
And when we spoke with them, we got all the measurements of their stakes and their tent, and so we have all those with Public Works. So we were aware of those before we presented it to council.
Good. Any other questions for Molly? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution authorizing use of city property for the American Crown Circus scheduled on August 12th and 13th, 2012?
I'll make that motion.
Gina first, and Eugene with second. Any further questions or statements? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? That passes. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
Okay. 4.8, ordinance to repeal OMC 9.20 relative to bicycle licensing. Chief Dennegan?
Good evening again. My last issue, and it looks like the last one on the regular agenda. I'm sure in 1958 there was a reason to register bicycles, probably all five of them in town. But that's not the current situation. And one of the things that we constantly try to do is pour over our ordinances to make sure they're up to date. And this one was actually brought to my attention by our city attorney. We have an ordinance which requires us to take registrations and make registrations on every bicycle in town, impound bicycles if they're not registered, and throw people in jail. It is a misdemeanor, according to our current code, not to have a registered bike. We haven't been doing that. And so in order to help us grow and modernize our code, the issue before you is an ordinance to repeal all of what is currently in the OMC dating back to 1958. So we would repeal the whole chapter, and we are covered in another area, and it's under the state law. All of the bicycle laws are covered within the state, with the exception of one, and that is whether or not a bicycle can be rode on a sidewalk. State law prohibits or allows it, and the current code from 1958 prohibits it. We do not have a lot of sidewalks in town. We do have our main and First Street. It has not been an issue. The skateboards have been more of an issue for us. So I don't believe that bicycles on the sidewalks would be an issue. The ones that we do see on the sidewalk are in the high density population areas with the little kids on their tricycles and bicycles with training wheels. So I don't think that we should worry about that particular aspect of the old ordinance. Everything else is covered: stop signs, hand signals, carrying things on a bike, no more than one person on a bike, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that we do need to repeal the law, the OMC, stick with the RCW, and call it good. We don't have the manpower to register all of the bikes that are currently out there today. So that is the issue before you. The staff recommends that we do repeal OMC Chapter 9.20, and we need a motion from someone to move that be repealed.
Questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to move OMC Chapter 9.20 dealing with bicycle violations licensing be repealed?
I'll make that motion.
Gina first, Charles, or Dan second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Great.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Ms. Kennison, for bringing that to our attention.
Okay. Unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business? New business? Well, I've got one. Terry, I noticed I come around 14th to work, and I see some type of patchwork.
Do you like that?
Yeah, that is slick. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
It's emulsified asphalt. It's put in the cracks probably 90%. It's filled up 90%, and then it's allowed to set, and then they come back and they fill it all across with a float and float that crack so that it becomes flat. It doesn't concave like this. So we figured that something that's a little bigger than an inch, filling it with sand because of the voids being so deep, and then come back in and put this emulsified asphalt into it and crack seal everything from 3/8 of an inch to an inch with a regular crack seal. I tried it out on 14th out here. It was a test run, and obviously it didn't get but half a block of that, and then I've got some down here on 7th by the church, Juniper, that we tried. So I figured it might bring somebody's attention, the bang, 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 and then all of a sudden it goes away for a couple cracks and then it bang, bangs again. So I figured I'd try it and see how it worked out.
You had mine. I go that way every day. It's really smooth. I don't know if any people go that way up on the north, all the way to the end of the city right there on 14th on the north end, but
it's kind
you
of
about
expensive.
Four of them I did, or something. What's like that? You did about four of them up there or something?
Yeah.
Three or four of them.
It's about $20 a gallon for that. I don't know the square footage right offhand, what it takes to fill it, but depends on the cracks. We've got some really large ones up here by Olympia and 14th, and then 14th's pretty heavy as it goes on down towards the school. So if it works and we get good response, we'll probably try a little more of that when we do a little later in the year, we do our crack sealing, mix it.
Good job. That was nice.
Thanks.
Any other new business?
I got one, Tim.
Go ahead.
We were at a SWAC meeting last Wednesday. We had a little discussion on a couple of items. They had a couple dumpster fire, or actually container fires out at Bruce site. They haven't totally pinpointed it, but they're pretty perspective that it was a problem with putting grass or grass clippings from lawns in plastic bags, and it overheated in our totes. And some of them they put in the containers, some of them they were putting them in, and they caught fire. It wasn't actually the grass itself, but it was the gases that was coming out of that, and it created a fire. Two of them were small, the other one almost destroyed a container completely. They figure somewhere around $25,000 damage at least on that situation. So I think they're going to put out a flyer to all the cities and anybody that's hauling garbage to that site that they would prefer not to put your grass clippings in plastic bags. I know at one time we talked about put them in there so it keeps your totes a little cleaner, but you've got this other situation with spontaneous combustion, so there'll be a flyer out about that, and it just depends on how hot it is. You know, we had 100-degree weather there, and all that would happen at the same time, so be aware of that there may be a change in that portion of it. The other thing I brought up was about a free dump day, or whatever, at least twice a year for our spring and fall cleanup. I know the mayor's been talking about maybe some other ideas with that, but at least I brought it up to them, and they didn't totally say no. But what they would like to have is our recommendation from the city in a letter form so that they know what we would prefer to do. And then at our next meeting, we can advise them, and they'll take it up to a vote, and we'll see what happens. So kind of keep that in mind for at least this fall. We can do something for a cleanup save our other problem that we had last spring. So.
Recommendation as far as the dates?
Well, two things is what do we want? Do we want your coupon thought, or do we want a preferred date for free dumping out at the brew site, and also the date that you'd want to do that, the time.
Okay. So. We can put that on the next workshop, and we'd have a discussion.
Sure.
About
sure.
that. Thank you for being involved in that for us, for the city. Appreciate that. Everybody else that's been on the committee's been pretty active, so that's nice to see things going to the council and making decisions. Okay, any other new business?
Yeah, could I get a progress on well 6 really quick?
Terry?
Have we got where we're at with it?
We got it in the hole, and we fired it off to waste last couple days. We took a back tea sample, should be back sometime tomorrow around noon. It runs pretty sweet, very little vibration, mixed and matched a bunch of pieces, flipped a couple shafts, installed it, and we'll give it a whirl tomorrow if we back tee passes. So.
And vibration?
Very little.
And we didn't get all the bowls and everything fixed, you guys just
We took four of the lower bowls that were taken off before it was installed the last go around, and we took some of those off and replaced them with those. Take out some of those that were bent, and then there's a couple shafts that were worn real bad, so we flip-flopped the shafts, buffed them on the bearing surface. They're not chromed or hardened, but it gets us back in operation until we can do something later. So we'll see when the back tee comes back tomorrow whether we can go online with that.
Since we brought that up, I'd like to just explain a short dollar amount. Council approved $40,000. Reinstallation because of the items that Terry just identified to address potential vibrations. There's an overrun of 7,000, so you've authorized the mayor to sign it. So I want to be up front, let you know the contract is 47,000, a little bit of change, not 40,000. And we just got that in. So
would you bring that to the council?
No, they've already authorized
the
emergency declaration to sign it.
Questions or anything from council on that? No? Okay. Okay, next we're going to go into executive session. The council will now adjourn into executive session pursuant of RCW 42.30.110, (1), (i) to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency's matters relating to agency enforcement action, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency's litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, governing body, or a member acting in official capacity is or is likely to become a party when the public knowledge regarding discussion is likely to result in adverse legal or financial consequences to the agency. The executive session is expected to last 30 minutes. No action will be taken during the executive session. So we'd like the chief to stay. And Eamon will stay.